Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, hour number two of the program. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass. Yes, on the ones and twos. Excited about our next guest who is in studio with us, TJ Miller.
On the ones, twos, and sometimes the threes.
Exactly.
I've never met a man and quickly gone, wow, he put a lot of time, effort, and money into his haircut.
Well, hey, he looks good.
First thing I thought.
It's free every week, courtesy of my mother.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
It looks like it.
No. Thank you.
Now, tell your mother I'll be there this afternoon, and hopefully she can make something of this mop. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me. We're doing fantastic.
TJ Miller is with us. You were at Zany's last night. You got two shows tonight. Two shows tomorrow.
Tonight, a few tickets left. I love the late shows. And last night, and I'm, you know what? I'm going to put forth a hypothetical situation because legally, none of this happened.
Okay. All right.
But I had a dream last night. Where I did the show. It was fantastic. So fun. We were talking about it off air. Heckler, got to deal with it. That's okay. The rest of the audience, very supportive of not only my comedy, but of me telling the heckler to go outside and give himself fellatio under my truck. A Toyota. And after the show, everybody who did the sort of meet and greet, I sell peanut butter. And I sell hot. Do you like peanut butter?
Love peanut butter.
Yep.
Got my own line of peanut butter.
What? How?
T-PB&J peanut butter.
Nice.
You can find it on Amazon.com. What if I sold it on Amazon.org?
Hold on. Now, you got to back up. How do you come up with the idea for peanut butter?
Because I was selling my own line of hot sauce.
Love it.
Also on Amazon. You pulling it up? Do it.
I will pull it.
You just made a sale, TJ. Nice.
12 years of radio. Get your stuff together, Chase.
Yeah, here it is. Amazon.com.
And so the hot sauce was doing so well because I love hot sauce. And it was doing so well. And I said, well, I love peanut butter. So these are both family-owned operations. And the hot sauce guy what a genius. We called him the spicy professor. Because he would put it all together, send me stuff. He passed away recently. Aww. And so at Zany's on Saturday, I'm giving away 100 bottles of hot sauce.
Nice.
And kind of in his honor to say, you know, the legacy is that he made, in my opinion, some of the best hot sauce on earth. And all of you can sort of, you know, you'll see that. And so I'm giving that away. And then peanut butter, I don't know. I love it, man. And mine, somebody said to me last night, they go, this isn't peanut butter. This is dessert peanut butter. And it's true. We have dark chocolate coconut.
I saw chocolate cherry.
Chocolate cherry with real dried cherries, honey roasted peanuts and milk chocolate, and then toffee crispy with toffee, milk chocolate, and Rice Krispies.
Nice.
So I'm going to get you guys some of that. Don't think that you're not going to be able to imbibe in my food stuffs. But after the show, I had a dream last night.
Okay.
Where after the show, we all went out to the parking lot and set off illegal Alabama fireworks. So I'm not saying that dream might reoccur tonight after the second show and tomorrow after the second show. But there's only one thing you can do when you're driving from Birmingham to Nashville. And as you're leaving Birmingham, you're regretting even having gone there at all. Roll Tide. And as you approach Nashville, you think, well, I got to get off somewhere. And it was the Jesse Owens Museum or the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville or Jim's Fireworks Outlet. Halfway between. I talk to the guy, I go, man, you guys are, he goes, yep, halfway between Nashville, halfway between Birmingham, 90 miles either way. I said, how long have you been here? He goes, I've been here since I was 13. And I go, what's your favorite firework? And he took a pause. He goes, all of them. I like all of them. So that was pretty fun.
Well, let me tell you this right now.
Please.
Fireworks are illegal in Nashville. You can't shoot them off.
That's why it was a dream.
You can't. In Davidson County, fireworks are illegal. It's crazy because we had the largest fireworks display in America on 4th of July. But you can't go out and shoot fire. You could get arrested.
You guys have this hilarious thing in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I did a I shot a special recently. It's on YouTube right now. It's streaming on my YouTube. TJ Miller is my name. And on YouTube is a special called Dear Jonah. And I shot it here in Nashville at Zany's.
Wow.
Just about a year ago. And I was doing the special. It was second show Friday. Perfect audience. I go out there. I start doing my act. And this drunk guy in the front row started heckling me. And I go, come on. I mean, I got seven cameras here. I mean, this is a real. And I go, just ignore him, TJ. And he kept heckling. But it was a weird heckle. He was sort of being positive. So he would go, ah, that's true. And I'd be talking, going, no. I've had that experience. I have. And I'm like, dude, shut up. So I finally go, all right, I got to deal with this. So I turn to him, I go, okay, you're wearing cargo pants. What's your cargo? What are you carrying? What's your freight? And he said, I like cargo pants. I don't keep anything in the cargo pockets, but I like them and they're comfortable. So I wear them. And he did this long explanation. And immediately all of us realized he's not drunk. He's not a heckler. It's not any of that. He's developmentally challenged. And the audience immediately was like, what is TJ going to do? Is he going to make fun of it? And so I listened to everything. And I stopped and I go, I want you guys to know that I am not going to make fun of him at all. And this was just a period where we learned about cargo pants and why he wants to talk about why he wears cargo pants. And the audience exploded because you know, that's Tennessee is such a roughneck state, but with such a soft heart. And so they just love that. And then throughout the show, I incorporated, he had the funniest line in the show. He was a part of the closer, and his name is Jonah. And so I ended up calling the special Dear Jonah. It was going to be called the Pandemic Special.
Right.
Because this is all pandemic material. Because, thank you, Tennessee, when everywhere else in the country closed down, you guys stayed open.
We said, come to Broadway.
I said, come on down to Broadway. So D.L. Hughley almost died on stage. That's fine. We'll fog it and get into the next. And so the special then was actually, his name is Jonah. It's called Dear Jonah. And I found out as soon as I announced, and we did tickets for this weekend. This is like 8 months ago. He was the first guy that bought tickets.
That's awesome. Do you still talk to him?
So he's going to be here Saturday night, first show. And not only am I going to talk to him, I'm going to bring him on stage and do an interview about what do you think of the special, because he was so funny. After the special, we talked, and he goes, I loved you in Deadpool. And I go, thank you so much. And he said, I love Office Christmas Party, but Deadpool, you're so good in Deadpool. And I said, thank you. I said, what did you think of the stand-up? Because I saw your HBO special. And I was like, oh, thank you. What did you think? He was like, it was pretty funny. I only watched about 20 minutes of it. But I was like, this is what we need. Like, we need more honesty in our culture.
Yeah, correct.
And he's just bringing the heat when it comes to that. Because he goes, I made it through about 20 minutes. I said, okay, well, what did you think about the show tonight? He goes, oh, I loved it. And you could tell he wasn't like, I loved it because I was the star. He just was like, this was so fun. And it is a fun show because every night, I'd say last night I improvised about 90% of the show, maybe 80%. So I did about three jokes total. And the rest of it is me talking to the audience, little crowd work here. But also I went to Hattie B's. Here's what I think about Nashville versus Alabama. What I want is every night for people to leave and go, well, no one else is going to see that show.
Right.
That was just for us.
I think that's so important. Like in comedy, music, whatever. Like now things are so scripted and like you have the same set.
But also in radio.
I
mean, I was talking about this to you guys. It's the fact that anybody tuning into this knows it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Today is today. That's it.
Right.
You're talking, and of course it depends on, you know, what's in the news, who's winning, who's losing. But it's also just about, you know, today is today. We're going to talk. You guys are going to hear it. Tomorrow you're not going to tune in and go, oh boy, here we go again. And even, you know, the best radio, even the spots, like the, you know, the this car dealership has this. You're still doing them differently each day.
Well, the best is you go to a small town, you see the small town commercials for Jack's Furniture Store, and it's just awful. When you were talking to the comedian TJ.
Jack is my uncle.
To TJ Miller.
Some of the best chaise lounges out there are in Lynchburg, Tennessee at Jack's Furniture.
When you get a script like Silicon Valley drop in your lap with Mike Judge, what a fantastic show. Do you pinch yourself? I mean, because it was just fantastically done.
I think at one point we were on set. This is one of those things where you don't remember what it was or when it was. But I remember we were talking and I said, well, what if it's this? Because I improvise so much. I go, well, what if it's this? And he just sort of listened, thought about it, and he goes, yeah, that's pretty funny. Let's do that. And it was like Beavis and Butthead.
Yep.
It was like, and so here you have this genius kind of going, yeah, that's a funny idea. And so, yeah, you do sort of pinch yourself and go, I can't even believe it. And the other one about that, and it's strangely been in the background my entire career, was I said to Steven Spielberg, I said, thank you so much for, I always say his full name. Thank you, Steven Spielberg, for having me in your movie. He's like, you can call me Steve. You can call me Steven. I go, yeah. Yeah. He's like, so will you do that? I go, oh, absolutely, Steven Spielberg. I said, thank you so much for having me in your film, Steven Spielberg. And he said, oh, of course. I mean, there wasn't anybody else. And I was like, oh, because, yeah, I thought it was a joke of like, we couldn't, no one else would agree.
Right.
And I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, we wrote the part for you. And wow. It was so interesting because what he was saying, because Transformers was his, She's Out of My League was his. He did Notes on Cloverfield. How to Train Your Dragon was his. Office Christmas Party was his. All these films I've done, he's produced, directed, whatever, given notes on anything. And what he was sort of saying is, he's like, buddy, I'm a fan. Like, we wanted this part in the movie. We thought it'd be good for you, so we put it together. So, yeah, those are like pinch me moments. But I also, we were also talking about this off air. I also will do a show, do some stand-up, and it just, everything worked. It all clicked. The audience was great. I'm leaning against the wall. Last night I was cracking up because this guy in the audience, every time people laughed and clapped, he clapped harder than anyone else. Oh, he was leaning forward. Oh my God. It was hilarious. But then I said to the audience, give it up for yourselves. And everybody clapped except for him. He was the only person, and he didn't clap at all. And I said, I stopped, and I go, okay, we got to talk about what just happened, because that is insane that you did what you just did. And he was like, what? So then I finished my bit about talking about it. I feel like every time you go to a show or a restaurant, before you tip, you should take a beat, decide we're going to tip, and then put another $5 on there. It's not going to hurt you, but it can really make. So I do a thing in the show where I talk about that. So then the server gets off stage, and I go back to this guy, and I go, why didn't you give it up for yourself? You're clapping the whole rest of the time, and then I say, give it up for yourself, and you almost feel self-conscious, like, I don't deserve the claps that I gave to other jokes. And he just said something, it only makes sense in the cut, but his response was so hilarious. He goes, well, to be honest with you, and this is a perfect impression. Well, to be honest with you, I kind of spaced out because I just was thinking about you saying that stuff about French squash players. And I just didn't understand it. And everyone's cracking up. And I'm like, first of all, I never said anything about that. I don't know where you got. And I started cracking up. I almost laughed so hard that I started crying. And it's like, it is what we were talking about. It's like you have these shows where at the end of the show, you walk out and you go, that was perfect. It made me laugh. People loved it. It was a great time. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too short. And those are pinch me moments where I go, I can't believe I get paid to go and do something that is so. In stand-up comedy, they have a saying, you do the shows for free, they pay you to travel.
Right.
And that does feel like what it feels like, but I'm sure sometimes you guys leave the studio and go, well, I that up. That was trash.
Daily.
Mother, or I can't believe that that just happened. So I have those shows too. But yeah, I think, you know, anybody in any situation, if you look at things in the right, you know, you scoot them the right way, or, then, yeah, everybody can have a pinch me moment every day because you can't believe that things are going this way for you, you know?
All right, we're going to take a quick
break. Unless it's the New York Mets.
All right, but I want to ask
you. They don't pinch themselves. They pinch somebody else and say, get away from me. Stop looking at me.
But I want to ask you about your career, one certain thing about your career that I find fascinating, but we'll do that after the break.
Yes, we will. Chasing Big Joe, TJ Miller in studio with us.
Big Joe has a very strong turquoise. Would you call that seafoam or turquoise?
Turquoise sounds really good. Seafoam.
I like seafoam. I think it might be seafoam.
And that was the day that they stopped doing radio together.
102.5, 106.3, the game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Comedian and actor TJ Miller in studio with us. He'll be at Zany's. He was there last night. He's got two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. Big Joe.
Chase, Big Joe, and little TJ. Here's my question
from your Twitter account not too long ago. Because I'm fascinated, TJ, with people who do comedy, who take that next step, because it's not guaranteed. And failure is like 95%. You succeeded. And you talked about.
I feel like only 90% of the show has been a failure today.
We're trying to get that to 80. About your comedy career, you started in everything you did. You said, I did stand up 7 nights a week, sometimes more than twice a night.
Yeah.
Eventually touring with Second City, writing sketches, improvising professionally. I was there for 4 years talking about this book this guy wrote about comedy, but you never quit. You know, I mean, people, don't do that. Get a backup job, get a career. Why didn't you quit? Why did you keep going?
I want to say he's looking at his phone because he's got notes in there, but I thought it would be funny if you just got Pornhub up. You've memorized all this, but you're like, I remember this one. I think that I went to college in part because my parents really wanted me to. And to
Where'd
get
you
that
go?
Degree, I went to George Washington University, okay. Which is where I met my wife, Kate. And Kate's great. She's so beautiful, so brilliant. She's magnificent. That's how I describe my wife.
Nice.
And before I went to Europe, I did a European tour this year, and she said, TJ, what if other girls try and kiss you while you're on the road? And I said, well, I wear two wedding rings. Which is the max amount of wedding rings you can wear. I said, that doesn't matter. Some women see that as a challenge. So what I did is I started wearing this, this is the AirPod case that you clip onto your belt loop. And it kind of hangs down and dangles like that. She was like, yeah, nobody wants to, that guy. but we met in college, and I was happy to go to college. I feel like it's an important thing in a person's development. So I was happy for that reason. But I'd say, you know, late high school, really by sophomore year of college, I was like, I'm the thing that I'm the best at is making people laugh. So I can either be a psychologist and affect 500 people's life, ideally, you know, dramatically, or I can be a comedian and influence and make millions of people laugh. Albeit sometimes for 30 seconds as a talking booger in Mucinex. But, you know, I think, and so I thought, well, I think that's the best use of my talent and, you know, time. And so, no, I never really thought about, well, what would be the alternative? And then years later, I started selling peanut butter on Amazon.
That's when you knew.
That's when I knew. You made it. No, I mean, I think I'll never forget. I said to my father, I said, hey, I think I'm going to be a comedian. And so that's what I'm going to do, and an actor, but I'm going to be a comedian. And it might take a really long time. You know, it may take 10 years, took Steve Martin 15, 20 years. But this, I think this is the best thing I can do for other people. And he said, he's a very pragmatic guy. Wrote the books on personal injury law in Colorado. So he's a heavy duty litigator expert. And he said, Well, I want you to know that of all the people in the Screen Actors Guild, only 2% act full-time. So only 2% of SAG are working actors who make their living doing that. And I said, did you just Google that? Like, I just didn't know how I... And he's like, no, I'm looking at Pornhub. And I memorized it. But I said to him, I said, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And he took a pause. We were in his office, and my mother was there. And he goes, well, we're not too worried about you because with your work ethic, we think you can probably get anything done.
Nice.
And that was true. Is I was taught by him, and I believe this, that if you have a strong enough work ethic, which should not get in the way of relationships, happiness, leisure time, all that is important. But if you have a strong enough work ethic, then anything's going to work out for you.
But some nights you probably did stand up and there's five people in the room not paying attention to you.
Kate loves this story. So one time I did a show and there were three audience members and it was a couple and Kate. So it was my, you know, would be then about to be wife and then two audience members and I was doing stand up. And I get on stage, and this is early on. And I was not doing well. And these two people listened to like three or four jokes and then they got up and left.
Oh, no.
So then it's me and Kate and I'm doing my act and both of us are like, do we just stop this? Like I could feel her being like, you don't have to do this. And I think she could feel me being like, yeah, but this is sort of the night. So shouldn't I keep going? Oh, my God, it was so funny. And then I got off stage. I think I cut it short. But I got off stage, and then I was like, hey, you want to get something to eat? Sure, yeah. We're headed to get something to eat. I go, that's a pretty weird show, huh? And she was like, yeah, I think. And I think she was about to be like, I think you could have cut it off a little bit earlier. But I go, that's a pretty weird show, huh? And she goes, yeah, I think you did really well under the circumstance. And I should have just asked her to marry me right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
I should have been like, you know, I think let you me knew, get down right? on my knees real quick. I know it's raining, but.
I think you knew right then that was the one.
That's the one.
So, and you've kind of answered this, but is that why, like, you've done movies, you've done TV shows, like, you don't have to go play clubs anymore if you don't want to, but why do you still want to kind of go back to your roots and stand up and what got you here?
So somebody was saying recently, they go, a little more Pornhub action.
People are weighing in on they like your testimony.
Curious minds are inquiring. I was talking to somebody about the difference between clubs and theaters. And for what I do, I'm a nightclub act.
Yeah.
And that's how stand-up started. And so... For me, the live of it, and that's why the pandemic was so hard. And I had in Birmingham, actually, I had a driver. He goes, well, you know, did you do any Zoom shows? And I said, no. He goes, all my friends, comedians, they did Zoom shows. And I said, the reason I do it is for, it's live. You got the babysitter. You came to the show. This is date night. That guy that I was joking about, his name was Curtis, who was like, oh, he came by himself. And he said, well, I had a hard week, and so I just wanted to get a laugh. And so that, to me, is as important, is as amazing, is as connecting as anything else. I love film and television. I'm writing a Christmas movie right now. I'm about to shoot this other thing that I wrote. It's amazing. But you're on set. You make it. You're in the edit, you do the, and then it goes into the world and you never really see people laughing at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With stand-up, I'm there, I hear, they're right there, they're telling me I'm having a great time, it's amazing. And the downside is when you're not doing well, they also make that really clear. But there's just something about it that's like different. And I also say this, stand-up is the most fascinating art form. It's so difficult. And acting, and people, you know, I'm not a dramatic actor, but acting to me is not really that hard. It's not yeah. that interesting. And I never go home having the moment that we're talking about. I never go home and go, Nailed it. I just don't. I just don't. I do it. The job got done. I feel great.
Yes.
And on the way home, I'm going, I really hope people like that. On the way home from a stand-up show, I know. I say people loved that, or right. They had a great time, but I didn't. Whatever it is. And it's just that only exists for me in that space. And so I'm just fascinated by it. And I also, it's true. It's like I travel all the time. I must do 40 weekends a year, 45 weekends a year. I used to do 50. I mean, you know, you just read that thing about, I used to do every single weekend except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And even then, I was sort of trying to make the family laugh, and I would bomb my uncle. But, you know, I don't need to travel that much, but I just love it. You know, the only reason I want to travel less is because I get along well with my wife. That's it.
Yeah, good for you.
The only other, well, let's talk to her. See how she
but Kate?
No, but I like Kate.
She's booked him for a few more weekends.
She is calls in. She's like, his peanut butter is terrible. No. But, you know, I really love... I love it. And so it's so fun. It's so interesting. And it always gets more difficult as it gets easier. And people say, well, that's great. You know, my job is this. And I say, or you got to think about it a little bit differently, you know, because every job is fascinating if you put in the time and the effort to do it. And that's how I feel about it. I forget who. So my opener is Cash Levy, and we have a podcast, which is great. It's called Cashing In with TJ Miller, and it's Cash Levy is the host, and he has a tough time getting guests. I don't know if they don't like him or what. So I've been the only guest on the show for 7 years, and he's really smart. He's a little bit older than I am, and last night we were talking about, because he's had a rough month or two, and last night we were talking about how getting older requires a lot of focus to sort of not complain about it and feel terrible about it, right? And we were discussing that because he said some big things kind of happened recently. And one of the things that I think you have to do every day is look at your job or your relationship or everything and say, how do I just think about this in a way where I, on the drive home, go, nailed it,
right?
And... I think that's really important. My hot sauce, which is on Amazon.com, the guy that I collaborated with that, he died a week and a half ago. And I've been talking with his wife, and we were close, and I've been talking with his wife, and we've just been talking about sort of the legacy that is his hot sauce, but also him. And I feel like I wish that without those types of events, like a close person, you know, passing away in your life, I wish without that we could really zero in on, like, look at how amazing all of this is. Look at how many great opportunities I have. Look at what a beautiful day it is. Mm-hmm. Look at how again and again the avalanche should be doing better. But if you sort of, if you can like lock into that every day, I feel like that's the way to really live. And so I try and do that with stand-up all the time. So if I'm at an airport and they're like, oh, we just closed the doors, we can't open them back up, I can either be like, what? What do you mean? Or I can go, well, that's nice. I get to kind of go to TGI Fridays or Chili's to go and have a fifth Bloody Mary.
Well, I will tell you, it's an honor you being here. And the best promotion in the world, as Lee Iacocca will always say, word of mouth. And the word of mouth from your show last night was people loved it. So
thank you. And you know what? I had somebody this morning hit me up on social media and say, that was so amazing that you did a fireworks show after the comedy show.
In your dream.
Yeah. And I said, buddy, in your dreams.
Right.
He is TJ Miller. He'll be at Zany's.
Two shows tomorrow.
Killing it.
And you got some tickets available to the late show tomorrow.
That's it.
Just don't get arrested for fireworks, please. Just say, Chase and Big Joe told me that I could possibly get arrested. You've been warned, so don't get arrested.
You know what I'm going to say, right? Chase told me not to set off fireworks, but Big Joe, he handed me a 200 count M60s big
Big Jim.
Black Cat. No, but he handed me a 200 count Black Cat and said, go out there. get arrested.
It's good. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. It's awesome
thanks
to have
for
you
having
in here.
Me. No, it was so great. And I love, for whatever reason, I feel like Chase would have been the guy who says, be careful out there. Fireworks are illegal. But the fact that Big Joe said, hey, look, man, be careful out there.
I'm like,
I mean, you know what that makes me feel like? That's not turquoise. That's seafoam.
That is seafoam. I'd be like Homer Simpson going up and acting casual buying fireworks. that would be me. TJ, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. And then what, if you can tell the audience, what's your favorite thing about one another? So Chase, oh, wow. When you look at Big Joe, what's your favorite thing about working with him?
It's like a Dr. Phil episode.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh at myself.
And I'm proud of him.
Oh.
From an intern to being the boss man here.
Yeah. And there you go.
He's the boss.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's really interesting. that was weird because Big Joe found his way back to giving himself a compliment. He was like, I'm proud of him because, look, I had him here and now I want to be a big boss. Chase basically said, it's cool because he makes fun of me, and if I don't laugh at myself, then I'm sad. Thank
Pretty
you,
much.
Guys.
All right, thank you.
TJ Miller, he'll be at Zany's this week and more coming. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You guys are great.